can't perish or spoil or fade. We have an eternal hope. We have the magnificent God, the creator of heaven and earth, that came down, gave his own son to give us the opportunity to be reconciled to him. So I just, you know, we're celebrating today. You know, every Sunday we get this opportunity to celebrate what he's done, who he is, you know, glory in him. I really, you know, had this moment, we're singing this hymn. You know, I grew up singing hymns. You know, that's where, growing up as an MK overseas, we sang a lot of those old hymns. But today, you know, it really kind of impacted me and hit me. How great thou art today. And I look up there and, you know, here's my friend, Nicholas Smith, worshiping the Most High God, you know, and here we are as brothers and sisters in Christ, joining together in something that's been taking place from all eternity and will continue to take place for all eternity. You know, the glorification of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who was and is to come. That's why we're here today. That's the vision for Sunday morning. And it's just a wonderful and beautiful opportunity that we have. So glory to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness, your willingness to come and sacrifice your life and take on the punishment that was ours. I thank you, God, that you saw fit to crush your son, that you've sent your Holy Spirit to empower us and to make us able to live a holy life and take on the righteousness of Christ. Lord, I thank you for salvation and for that eternal life that we have with you. And Lord, today I pray if there's any that don't know you, that haven't received that gift of forgiveness yet, Lord, that you would speak to each one of their hearts, Lord, and draw them to you. Lord, it's your kindness that brings people to repentance, and we want to see you and your kingdom grow here in Toccoa, in Georgia, in the United States, and to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been studying the book of Daniel. And the book of Daniel is different than most of the other books in the Bible. It's kind of, you know, it's exciting, it's unusual, but it's great. You know, we grew up as, you know, many of us that grew up in the church and used to see the flannel graph stories and things like that of Daniel in the lion's den, or maybe the handwriting on the wall. And we have all those great stories about what God did and how he used to proclaim God to these pagan kings in those days and time. But now, you know, we're coming to the end of Daniel's life. So we're reading in chapter 10. So let's just start in chapter 10, and I will read it to you, and then we'll talk about it and focus in on some key points. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me didn't see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up. For I have now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." So while he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips and opened my mouth and began to, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed, he said. Peace, be strong now, be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. So he said, do you know why I've come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first, I want to tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him. All right, so chapter 10 is an introduction. It sets the stage for this revelation, you know, this final revelation that we have recorded in the book of Daniel. And it's that the final thing that we're going to hear about in chapters 11 and 12. So in our passage today, we find out that the time frame of when this happened, when he received this vision. And so it says it was the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia. So just a little bit of a backstory on King Cyrus and what was happening. If you look in the book of Ezra in chapter 1, it says that in the first year of his reign, so King Cyrus, in the first year of his reign, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus to build a new temple in Jerusalem. And this was to fulfill what the prophet Jeremiah had prophesied. So here now, that's happening. And King Cyrus has proclaimed that we're going to rebuild the kingdom the temple in Jerusalem. And allow the Israelites to return home. He even said, and in any locality where survivors may now be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. So all this time, the Israelites have been living in exile in Babylon, you know. Generations have passed, and so now there's this period where they've kind of lost touch as to their heritage, as to what, you know, they were God's people, God's chosen people. I think there's probably been a lot of hope lost and things like that. And I really believe that that's what Daniel's mourning about. That's what he's fasting about. He's praying about. So this is 3 years after this has already started. So the process is happening. And Daniel still sounds like he's still in Babylon. But he's praying. He's asking the Lord, what's going to happen with your people? Will there ever be this restoration of what we once had? And I think he's mourning what's been lost. And he's crying out to God about that. Give me some revelation, some understanding as to what is going to happen. You know, one of the other things too that King Cyrus did, God used this king to bring about the restoration of Israel. So King Cyrus also brought out the gold and silver articles that had been taken from the temple of the Lord when the Israelites were initially brought into exile. So Daniel's final vision, it took place after a time of prayer and fasting. It says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. And whenever you take any time to learn and about prayer and fasting, there's always that association with mourning, and we're longing for something more. We're wishing and hoping, and so at the time now we're fasting, we're longing for Christ's return. We're longing for the time when he comes back in that glorious moment where we join with him for all eternity. So Daniel is fasting for 3 weeks. He says, I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until 3 weeks were over. This is something I think really significant. His devotion to God, his heart towards God, it's basically carrying out some of these promises that we hear. When we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. That's a promise that we have in the Word. That's a promise. When we make that effort and we make that move toward him, when we incline our hearts to him, he inclines his heart towards us. So we have that promise in God's Word, and it's a basic principle. It's fundamental. We can bank on that. Those who intentionally pursue the heart of God will find him. This is what it says in Jeremiah. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And this is just one way. Prayer and fasting is one of the ways that we seek the Lord. And that's why coming up next month at the first 3 days, we want to be in the practice and the habit of seeking the Lord. And that sign-up sheet for the time of prayer, it's important to devote ourselves to God. What can happen through prayer? Like, I guess the better question is, what cannot happen through prayer? I mean, kingdoms have been, and history has been changed because of people who prayed. And it's our job and it's our duty as believers to carry on that tradition of prayer. It's not just a tradition, it's a lifestyle. And it's, you know, what he's commanded us to do, but not so much just commanded. He's given us this privilege and opportunity to partner with him in this great work of bringing about his kingdom, of carrying out the eternal kingdom of God. We're his agents here on earth, you know. We need to be in prayer. We can't do any of these things on our own. You know, if we just try to live a good life and be holy in our own strength, we're going to fall and we're going to fail miserably. You know, it is through prayer then that things change and that we affect the change that he has in mind, which is bringing about the kingdom of heaven here on earth as it is in heaven. I want to encourage you to really, there's enough time really to think. We've got a month before that happens. So it's going to be that first week. So it's going to be, we're starting March. It's going to be April. So it'll be the first 3 days of April. So you have a whole month to think about it. The sign-up sheet's already available. And, you know, take a day off of work. Do something to really focus on the Lord. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you in that, you know, to not just be complacent. We have a tendency to be complacent and think, that's not important. I've got many other things to do. And it does seem important, all the things we have to do. But if we're not spending time with him and drawing near to him, we're not going to receive what he has for us. We're not going to be operating in the power that we should be operating in. You know, we've got to put food in our bodies to be able to do the things we need to do. We've got to put fuel in our car to be able to move from one place to the other. Why would we think that we can live a holy life without prayer? That is the fuel that we need. And it's utterly important. So be encouraged in that and be challenged in that too, to really say, you know, I want to find a way that I can devote myself more fully to the Lord in prayer and draw near to him. So this is an opportunity in just that time that we set aside here as a church. So yeah, that's why we endeavor as a church to practice it regularly. So there's that QR code in your bulletin. You can just access it there and sign up. Daniel was the recipient of dreams and visions from the Lord because he pursued the Lord. That's plain and simple. It wasn't just like, you know, the Lord needs somebody to show this to. Daniel was after him. He was really genuinely focused on the Lord, and that was why he was the recipient of it. You know, I saw a sign. You know, sometimes you see the church signs, the placards that they put out front with the letters, and sometimes they're pretty silly, and you think, man, why don't they just put a scripture up there or something? And, we've got so much power in the Word of God. Why do we want to try to just make up these silly phrases or plays on words, you know, instead of really supporting or promoting the Word of God, which is powerful and effective and produces change? But I was thinking about it. I saw one today and it got me thinking. I think they had the words mixed up backwards, but it's just talking about, have you received forgiveness, or are you forgiven, something like that. And I just, that's what it was. Are you forgiven? And it didn't have a question mark or anything, but I thought, really the statement is, you are forgiven. The price that Christ paid on the cross bought forgiveness for all. And there are those who have accepted that and received it and now have eternal life. And there are those that haven't. But the forgiveness is there. It's up to us to receive it, accept it, and take it. It's a gift from God. So that's just something that hit me and struck me this morning as I saw that sign, that it really is. That there is. We all are forgiven. Some of us are going to accept that and receive it and walk in eternal glory with him, and some of us are going to walk away, and hopefully not us in this congregation. I trust that the Lord is going to capture every single one of our hearts here, and we're going to walk together as a family with him until the end of days, beyond, into eternity. So God's desire for us to be reconciled to him, that's one of his plans and purposes, is that we would be reconciled to him. And it was such an important part of his plan that he sent his own son to die in our place. And then the sin that separated us from him could be removed and we could be made holy and share in his eternal kingdom. You know, there's a lot that can be said about this passage, chapter 10, and you could go in a lot of different directions, and I'd imagine a full study of this could take months and months. But I want to focus in on one thing. You know, in this chapter of Daniel, I want to look at this statement that occurs twice, in verse 11 and then again in verse 19, and I have them highlighted up there. You who are highly esteemed. You know, it was also said earlier in chapter 9, Gabriel, the angel, also said it to him earlier. So in chapter 9, he's already been told, you who are highly esteemed. And I think that's a very, very important thing. It expresses the heart of God in a different kind of way. You who are highly esteemed. This is just a man. This is just a human being. And now this angel of God is coming. He's not saying his own words. He's bringing the words of heaven. You who are highly esteemed. This approval that the Lord gives to Daniel in this statement, it reveals to us some of the heart of God. It's this expression of God's heart towards Daniel, you know, so much so that it's repeated three times, you know, within chapter 9 and then twice again here in chapter 10. And the Lord speaks like that when he's repetitive. There's got to be a good reason for it. And I think there's a lot of instances throughout the Bible where the Lord repeats something because he really wants it to stick into our minds. It's not just an emotional, sentimental overflow that, oh, yeah, tell Daniel, you know, he's highly esteemed. No, it's a very intentional statement that God wants Daniel to know, you who are highly esteemed. It's not this, there's substance behind it. I think the Lord is always very intentional about what he says. He's not flippant about giving praise or you know, things like that. So there's something here in this declaration, you who are highly esteemed, sums up so much of God's love and his relation to us and our relationship to him. There's something a whole lot grander moving from this place of, you know, now when we've accepted his redeeming love, he's bought us, he's purchased us, he's given us eternal life, he's saved us and rescued us from sin. That's redeeming love. He's redeemed us, and we can glory in that alone for all eternity. We can thank him for all eternity for that great gift of salvation. But he wants even more, that you who are highly esteemed, growing in that intimate love with one another. So it's like this working love. It's a bit more of a career or a way of life. You know, it's not just something that was purchased. Now it is how we live. It's how we walk. So in John 3:16, this is probably the most famous Bible verse of all times. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That explains to us this length that God will go to redeem and rescue us from the ultimate demise of sin, which is death. You know, the wages of sin is death. But it is the gift of God that gives us eternal life, that rescues and saves us from that penalty. That's his redeeming love, and it's something we can't ever fully comprehend. How could he do that? How could he love us so much that he's willing to take on the penalty? How could he love us so much that he's willing to suffer and die in our place and freely give us that gift of salvation? We can't comprehend that. It's wonderful. It's merciful. It's fantastic. We just don't have enough vocabulary or ways to express that in this dimension. You know, I think that that's why we probably need all eternity to begin to really capture and grasp some of these things. We simply cannot do it now. We can't even grasp eternity. You sit there and try to think about things that have no beginning, and if you spend enough time, you're just going to be sort of overwhelmed with it. We don't know of anything that doesn't have a beginning. That's why everyone in the world's got to try to make up some story of how the earth came about. Oh, well, I don't know. I guess it came about like this, instead of what the Word says is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, and he created everything. He was before time. I think that's just, all these things, we can't comprehend the love of God. It is in that same way, infinite and merciful and wonderful and fantastic. But that's just the beginning of his love. That's just the tip of the iceberg. There's more than just redeeming love. we can never fully understand the depths of this, and still he calls us even to something greater, this working love, you know, our vocation now to know God and be known by him. You know, we're called to fellowship with him in his purposes, and we partner with the work of his kingdom through prayer and submission to him. And again, this, he empowers us with the Holy Spirit to do this. It still isn't our strength. It isn't our goodness. It isn't anything that we bring to the table other than obedience and a willingness to submit ourselves to him and that willingness to receive that free gift that he purchased. So when you really love someone, you go out of your way to please them. And, you know, this is exactly the same with our relationship with God. And it's shown by what Daniel's done here, you know, his focus, this time, I'm pursuing the Lord. And so now the Lord says, you who are highly esteemed. You know, this fact that an archangel was sent straight from heaven to speak to Daniel, and then he has to battle his way through demonic powers for 21 days, that's immense. You know, the opening greeting, you know, heaven's estimate of you, Daniel, is very high. You know, in heaven, you stand in a place of great value. You are greatly beloved. You know, that's kind of the feeling that's being said here when the angel comes to speak to him. And you know, you think about, I know that I'm guilty of this a lot of times. I speak from specific knowledge, and so I'll tell you what that means. So my wife, a lot of times, I'll just start rambling on about something because whatever it is I've been studying, I'm into it. And whether it's, you know, the most recent spec sheet on some excavator or, you know, whatever it is, I'm all into it, and I'll just start telling her all about these things and, you know, how many, you know, the breakout force or whatever it is. And it's all nonsense and irrelevant to her. And somehow or another, I think that it's fun to share these things because I'm so excited about it. And then it doesn't mean anything to her. And, you know, so here the angel comes down, and I see this in, you know, towards the end too. It does seem like the angel's kind of a little bit wordy and telling him a lot of things about these situations and the Prince of Persia, and I had to battle him, and then, you know, nobody supported me except for Michael, and then Michael came, and then finally after 21 days, here I am, you know. And I think that there is maybe a little bit about that. He's got all this specific knowledge about how things work in heaven and, you know, the Prince of Persia and things like that. And he's trying to just tell all these things. And, you know, really, I don't know. This is my opinion. So now you have to kind of take that with a grain of salt. But, you know, sometimes we do, you know, we look at that and, you know, I do think that he's speaking from specific things. But anyway, the Prince of Persia, this, you know, it's a demonic force, an evil force. It's not necessarily this human that he was battling against along to come down. So that is a little bit of a sideline there. But yeah, the purpose of God's redeeming love is so that we can know him and be known by him. And being esteemed by God isn't something that's for Daniel only. It's something for each of us to contend for. It's our duty as believers to draw near to God, and he promises that when we do, he will draw near to us. So in Daniel 10, verse 12, it continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come in response to them." So the first day that Daniel started praying, he already had his answer. The angel's already sent, and, you know, but Daniel persevered. He continued to pray through this 21-day period, and it was that this angel was battling for 21 days to get to him, to bring him the answer and to bring him this vision. "Your words were heard, and I've come in response to them." We play an important role, you know, as believers in bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. And I think this is a great mystery and a great wonder that God's given us this privilege and responsibility to do that. And he can do things that don't require us. He has all power and all might and all ability, but still he chooses to allow us to partner with him and to be participants in bringing about his will here on earth. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's how he taught his disciples to pray. That's what he wants us to do, to call down the things that we know are his will. Because why? Because we've learned about him. We've gotten to know him. We've spent time in his word. I'm getting a little ahead of myself there. He said, the first day you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. So when we set our minds to gain understanding about his purposes and humble ourselves before him, You know, it's in this position of humility and longing to understand that the Lord is pleased to respond. I believe he wants to speak to us all. I know he wants to speak to us all. It isn't just, you know, these specific people like Daniel or, oh, that person has the gift of prophecy. It, you know, we're told in the New Testament to earnestly seek that, especially the gift of prophecy. We need to have ears to hear, that we want to be attentive to hearing his voice and knowing the things he's saying. And so we simply need to align ourselves with his plans and purposes. So here, when people pray in this way, God moves and things happen. And world events are shaped by prayer. And I know I said this earlier, but we can change the course of history through prayer. Do you believe that? Do you believe that everything that's happening around us is set in stone? I mean, these lives, these girls that are willing to give up their children, they're because of people of prayer and devotion to God, their minds are changed and history is altered by devotion to God. In that, lives can be saved, hearts can be changed, and the kingdom of God can grow. And it comes about through us as people of prayer. It doesn't come about by our smart arguments and our great theological debates. It doesn't come about by us convincing people that we're right and they're wrong. It comes about by humbling ourselves and submitting to God in prayer. From that first day that you set your mind to gain understanding, your words were heard. So we need to become fervent in our prayer lives. We need to cry out to God for our nation and our world. He gave us a great responsibility. And I'll dare say this, that most of us haven't taken it seriously enough as we should. You know, the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. And maybe you'd say, well, I'm not a righteous person. Maybe you'd say, you know, that's not me. But then cry out to God for righteousness. Cry out to him to make you holy, to give you a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. That's when, you know, in that the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus taught, hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's a place to start. Cry out to him to give you a heart of prayer. Pray as David did. You know, the psalmist, he said, investigate my heart, O Lord, and show where there's any impure ways in me. Eradicate this garbage from my life so that I can be useful to you. That's his prayer. That's a powerful thing. And when we begin to submit ourselves to God in that kind of a way, he's able to use us. When there's nothing left of our wants and desires and our that old sinful nature, man, and it's filled by him and his purposes, his kingdom, his Holy Spirit, that's when we can really be used and really see things changed. And I want to encourage you and challenge you today in that. Yes, investigate my heart and reveal any impure ways. God's love for you, his love for you is already set in stone. You know, these historical events that we see happening around us aren't, and prayer can change them. You know, and then hear this, prayer isn't going to earn his love for us. Again, his love is already lavished on us. It's already out there. It's there for the taking. It's there for the receiving. When we say, we believe and we trust and we receive that gift. You know, we're accepting that gift that he gives us. So that opens us up to receive it. And once that happens and the love of God's working in you and through you in your prayers, we're going to see God move in a greater power, a greater way in our day and time. And I look forward to that. I look forward to the revival that we're going to see when the people of God really devote themselves to him in prayer. We're going to see his power at work in our community, you know, and change in what goes on around us. And you see the darkness and you see the work of the enemy, but that's not set in stone. The victory is already won. And it's up to us to now be participants in bringing that to this day and time, in kind of circumventing the work of the enemy, so to speak, you know, standing in that gap, being people of intercession. You know, praying that hearts would be changed, just arguing till we're blue in the face about things. So Daniel understood the scripture. You can't underestimate this value of knowing the Bible, of knowing the scripture. Daniel had a great knowledge of the scripture, and you know, as we heard chapter 9, verse 2. I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So he had this understanding about the vision that he received in chapter 9 because of his knowledge of the word. He'd been in the habit of reading the word and prayerfully and thoughtfully, and he devoted himself to the knowledge of God. He'd been in the habit of seeking God to know what God's really after. He knew the heart of God. He knew his word. So I think it's fun. I don't want to use that word. I believe that it's fundamental for us as believers to cherish the scripture. We need to know the scripture. It's the foundation of us knowing how to pray. And I think, you know, this might be a strong statement, but I believe that, you know, all of what happened through Daniel's prayers and the way that heaven was moved, it wouldn't have happened if he didn't know what to pray about, if he didn't know how to pray. If he's just there sort of, well, I'm supposed to fill this time of prayer, you know, three times a day or whatever, and he's just going through the motions, then we wouldn't have seen the move of God. We wouldn't have had this revelation recorded for us. We wouldn't have had all these things that God spoke through him because he wasn't ready for it, but he was ready for it. God's word, it gives us a language. It teaches us about his heart and purposes. It gives us this confirmation, being able to know and understand the things he's speaking to us. So here it gave Daniel an understanding into what was revealed to him. I'd say the word of God grounds us, it guides us, and as the psalmist said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. So if we're going to be a people that move heaven through our prayers, we need to be a people that know his will and know his ways. And the Bible does this. The Bible teaches us this. And the Holy Spirit comes along and guides us and directs us and reveals to us the heart of the word so that we can understand it. He's our teacher. So Daniel had a heart to understand God's eternal purpose. And that's the heart of prophecy, this desire to know the will of God, this desire to know his plans and purposes. God wants to reveal himself to us. He wants us to devote ourselves to him and to pursue his heart. He wants us to be ready. You know, I think these things, he can't just begin to pour into you if you haven't made a place and a way to carry it. You know, if I go up to the chicken pen and they've laid 40 eggs, I can't carry them in my hands. I need to take a bag or something like that. You know, or maybe I could put them in my shirt. I need to have some kind of way more than just this to carry the plethora of things. So I mean, the same way, we need to be ready. We need to expand our ability to receive from him. And we do that through drawing near to him. You know, God's character is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's unchanging. And that's the fact that he wants to reveal himself to us. He does love us. He wants us to know his heart. And Daniel, he was deliberate. You know, it wasn't just this, again, you know, just going to say prayers for the sake of saying them and to fill time to say that he's checked off his list of the things he was supposed to do. He was deliberate. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I've come in response to them. He set his mind to gain understanding and to humble himself. And I think, you know, praying like this, it means setting aside any other personal interests and these distractions, the things that I want, the things that are interesting to me. Those things aren't relevant a lot of times in our time of prayer. Of course, we do need to pray for, prayer requests and things like that. But there's something more into knowing the heart of God, drawing near to him and calling out to those things, asking him to reveal his heart to us. And praying back. That's the scripture is so important in that, and why, you know, Aaron's encouraged us a lot of times, and I'll encourage you too in that, that, you know, when we go into the prayer room, take the Bible with you, read his word, and pray over those things. When you don't understand what you're reading, ask him, reveal your word to me. Holy Spirit, explain this to me. Help me understand what it is that you're speaking through your word. His word is, it's for us today. You know, somebody in one of our groups a long time ago said this awful thing. Oh, the Bible, that's God's word for yesterday. We need to just hear him for today. And I'm like, no way. God's word is for today, just every bit as it was for back then. It's powerful. It's effective. It's a sword, and it cuts to the marrow. You know, it is an important part. If we don't have his word, and we're not immersed in it, and we don't know it, we're not going to be able to pray in that same deliberate way. We're not going to be able to pray the will of God, understanding the things that he wants in his heart. If he wants things and he already knows that, why do we have to pray them? That's because this is the system he's set up. He wants us to pray those things into existence. And I can't really explain to you why, but he wants us to. He wants us to be a part of bringing that to pass. While he could do it on his own, he chooses not to, and he chooses to use us. I think that's beautiful. The fact that God gives us this opportunity is beautiful. And I don't think there's anything more rewarding than heaven responding and a supernatural event taking place to our prayers, like what happened here with Daniel. He's praying and a supernatural event took place, and this angel came and spoke to him and gave him this great revelation, again, that we're going to hear about in the next upcoming weeks in chapters 11 and 12. And that's just, it's fantastic that we are able to affect change in heaven through our prayers. Be encouraged in that. So whether it's praying alone in your own quiet times, your devotional times, you know, throughout the week, in the mornings, in the evenings, whenever it is that you do, be sure that you do spend time in prayer. But it's important to be deliberate. Know what the Word says. Know what the promises of God are in His Word, and speak those out. And just know that God works through prayer. So, you know, finally, the last component here that I want to just really focus in on in Daniel's prayers, the fact that he who is highly esteemed, you know, this Daniel was persistent. He wasn't only deliberate in, you know, really going after things. He was persistent. The angel said from the first day, you already had your answer. But that answer wasn't brought to him until 21 days had passed. And Daniel says here in the beginning that he was fasting and mourning, praying for these 21 days. You know, what would have happened if he just thought, oh, okay, forget about it. You know, I've already prayed. That's enough. I'm done. I give up. You know, we can easily be discouraged as people. And we don't see something happen, or somebody else comes along and discourages us in a different way. And it's very easy to just say, okay, all right, I give up. Maybe we just accept the way things are and be happy with not receiving from God. And that's just a travesty. It is an absolute and horrible thing for us as believers to not receive from God because we became complacent or we became discouraged and we let go. So think, you know, if Daniel hadn't persevered in this prayer, again, things probably wouldn't have happened. He spent 21 days praying, denying himself good things. And so he had some very special insight that he received, you know, that we received into the nature of his prayer. It was heard and that response was sent right away. But then again, the angel had to fight through it. There was that battle that took place for this word of God to come to fruition, you know, for what was already answered, what was already passed, you know, on its way. It took 21 days to get there. So I think it is important for us in our prayers and as people of God to be a people of persistence who don't let go. You know, like that, the widow, you know, clamoring to the unjust judge and, you know, just over and over again making her requests known. And, you know, our God isn't like that unjust judge. He is just. He already wants to give us good things. He already wants to see us succeed. And that's what that parable is showing. So even this horrible, unjust judge is going to relent if you are persistent. How much more so our loving, caring, wonderful Father in heaven, who wants to give us every good gift, is going to respond to our persistence. He wants us to be persistent, and he wants to grow something in us. He wants to make us into people that are more like him. He wants to, you know, it grows us in our faith, and faith is that asset that it's more valuable than gold. It's the one thing that it pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You know, so he wants that to grow in us, that faith that's so valuable. So, yeah, we don't want to be complacent. And just like that, to dig in, you know what? The Word says this. And it doesn't matter what I have seen and haven't seen, because the Word of God says this. that he is mighty to save, and it's his will that every person would be saved. So we don't look up here at this lost and wicked person and say that person's too far gone to be saved, because I've seen him save people that were very far gone. I've seen him transform lives. I've seen him bring about joy and peace into people's lives who are in shambles. He's able, and he's capable, and he's willing and wanting. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. We need to call out on him and never think that, well, that's too big, that's too much, we can't believe for that. And one of the things, the challenges that we've had as a family is to trust for healing for artists, you know? It's been a long time. It's been 17 years. But I know that the Word of God says that by his stripes, we're healed. And just as much so as believing that he died for the forgiveness of sins, and when I put my trust in him, I am healed and made well, that he's able and willing and wanting to heal the sick as well. And so I pray in that way. I pray, God, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And so I already know this. It's pretty easy that there is no sickness in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. So if I'm praying that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then I'm praying in his will for her healing. I don't have to stop and wonder, you know, am I praying in accordance to God's will? Because I got to look and see, what is the kingdom of heaven about? Jesus taught about what the kingdom of heaven was. That was his goal. He went, when he was preaching, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And he began to make all these parables and comparisons and everything to show, here's what the kingdom of heaven is like. You've got this wrong idea. You all think it's just about overthrowing the Romans and setting up this new political power. It's not. The kingdom of heaven is greater. It's grander. It doesn't have anything to do with these things. You're looking on this plane, and the kingdom of heaven is eternal, and it doesn't exist in that way. And so I think for us, we've got to be a people that pursue his will, pursue the knowledge of God, pursue his word, and know it, and pray in accordance to it, and see our community set free, see deliverance from the demonically oppressed, see healing for those that are sick, see salvation for those who are lost. Not because of anything we do, because of what he does. But still, he calls us as a partner in that, in prayer. We've got to be a people who are deliberate, persistent, and pursuing him in prayer. So, he didn't let go. He didn't quit. And he received the answer to his prayers. Daniel was highly esteemed. He was known by God. He received an extra measure of intimacy with God. And that's a call to each one of us. It's a call to everyone here. There's more. There is more. There's more to this Christian life than you've experienced. There's more to this Christian life than I've experienced. We have an eternal God who created the heavens and the earth, the universe. We can't comprehend him. And he loves us in such a great way that he redeemed us, but he wants more. He wants to love us more, to show us more, for us to be able to receive more of his love and to know that. This phrase, you who are highly esteemed, it reminds me of something else that we can look forward to. And if I could get the worship team to come up as we come to concluding here. You know, Jesus in one of his parables, he was, you know, talking about what it's like when we come at the end of the time and we come to meet him. You know, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So that's what, you know, we have to look forward to. Well done, good and faithful servant. As his people, are we currently pursuing him and serving him in the way that we should? And this is something that I would like as we begin to, I know a lot of times we ask for prayer requests and pray for one another. I believe that the Lord would have us today to stand and just really be, like David said, investigate my heart, Lord. Show any impure ways in me and cleanse me and make me righteous. I want to be in your presence, standing before you on that day, hearing the words, well done, good and faithful servant, you who are highly esteemed. You know, just like Daniel pursued the Lord with fervor, he prayed, heaven moved, he was deliberate, he was persistent. You never know what God can do through your prayers, so Don't give up. Press in towards the prize. Let's stand, let's worship him, and let's pursue him in prayer during this time. And really just ask him to reveal his heart, to grow in us that desire and heart of prayer, and just to really speak to us about what it is that he wants to accomplish through each one of us. He has a plan and a purpose for each one of you. He has a reason that he's brought you here to hear his word on this day and time. He has a reason that he rescued and saved you from the pit of hell. There's a reason, and he's got a work for you to do. So he's calling out to you today. So while it's day, respond to that. Respond to him. Father God, thank you for the work that you did just in reconciling us through the blood of your Son on the cross. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for the revelation that you gave Daniel. Thank you, Lord, for your word that you've shown us your character. You've shown us who you are. You've shown us so much of your will. You've revealed so much of your heart in your word. I ask, Lord, that you would grow us in intimacy as your people and give us a heart to know of understanding, like Daniel did, that desire for understanding and to humble ourselves before you. God, grow us in that place of humility and make us a people of prayer that are persistent and